is a good, it's good to be in 2021. Amen. You know the song that I woke up with today, as I've woken up with many times, is that old chorus, I am blessed, every day that I live, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Amen. I trust that's going to be your song too. I want to say thank you to everyone again for... I'm always excited to be here Sunday morning, whether I'm speaking or not. I mean, I know I work here every day, but those of you who are watching, like, I'm thinking we should be bidding on 19 people to be able to be here. You know, though, I locked the door because there's 18. But like the old hymn goes, though 18 have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the community church for you. Amen. And it's like, we should be fighting to get here. Be together, like, you know, you meet people in the big box stores, you see them walking into the liquor store, you see them every place else, but darn if they'll come to church. You know, I think we should just be trying to get in the door. Anyways, that's just my point of view. But I want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you for the, to the congregation again, and on behalf of Shannon as well, for the gift cards and little knickknacks that come our way. And for that honey, that's awesome honey you guys gave us. I love it. Natural honey like that, that's awesome, yeah. And thank you to our elders and our deacons who so faithfully, especially at this time since over the last, you know, 8 months, have reached out, not only in their ministry and in their positions, but have reached out to members of the congregation that aren't here. And, and have taken on that, just an added a thing. And, you know, you're not getting paid for it. It's out of the love of your heart that you're doing it. And we appreciate that so much. While I'm thinking of that, I bring you greetings because I have to write it down or I'll forget. From the three ladies that are on my heart all the time, and that is Mildred Bjorgum, Jean Savage, and Grace Kells. They always say, remember to greet everyone for us. And it's like, So for all the weeks that I didn't greet you on their behalf, Happy New Year from those three. They're all doing this, you know, whatever they can, you know, like, Grace probably has the most freedom down there in Okotoks, that's where she's at. And because she was able to actually have her family come into the dining room at the lodge there for 1 hour. And so she got to see them, whereas the other two, they weren't able to see, as far as I know, their children. So keep praying for them as well. Amen. Well, this morning my topic is focusing and refocusing. And so you have on your screen, this was taken yesterday, one of my buddies. You can't see his horns, but he has a good rack on him. But he's probably been around for years. But I just want to, I need to refocus on some of the promises that God gave to me. And I've shared this with you, and I'll share it with you again. When I was about 5 years old, I had this dream that I was preaching at the Sales Pavilion in Edmonton. And the place, there was people in there, but animals started coming.
Whoa.
And I had that promise from God. This is going to be one of the things that I've called you to the ministry. You'll always be friends with my nature. And so I've got these buddies that hang around. And I've gone, you know, and it's just God. I've gone between two cubs and their mother, Bear, up in Manning when I was hunting for moose. Didn't seem to bother her at all. And I remember Hilda and I in Grand Forks when we lived up there, the cougars, and you could hear them cry. That's all I can say, cry or whatever you call that. It's eerie if you're hearing them up in the mountains there like that. Anyways, number of things, but we got these buddies that hang around. There's some does that every one of them has their own kind of, I know which one they are because of how they respond to me, and it's just I need to refocus. But this is, I think this is a time as for us today, we can, I just want to share with you five things in regards to refocusing and focusing. Sometimes we just need to stay focused, sometimes we need to refocus. And, you know, I was thinking, when I was probably, oh man, I don't know if I was in school yet. Maybe I was in school. But where we met, the old Edmonton Gospel Temple, 103rd Street, Avenue and 95th Street in Edmonton, we never had a superstructure on our church until 1962. We only met in the basement. And so we met in the basement, and I remember we always sat, our family always sat in the second row for whatever reason. I guess that's why we don't have any trouble. We're sitting as far back as I've ever sat in my life in a church. We always sat in the second row, and I remember, and because, you know, every fall, Bible school students would come in because there was also a Bible school in that. And so I never knew just who was coming. And I can remember as a little kid hearing behind me somebody, and I didn't know whether they were speaking in tongues or whether they were speaking in their native language, because people came from Norway, Sweden, wherever they came from. I don't know how they found out about a Bible college, but they would come. And I looked behind me, I remember looking behind me, and this guy's not very tall, not much bigger than me. And he was praying away, and then later I found out he was praying in Swedish because he didn't really know English that well. And, you know, it's all in my heart because I pastored there. But within the last month, that little hamlet of Amisk, and you know that place, you pastored there yourself, have lost four people. None of them were living there at the time. Two to COVID. One was 104 years old, so I guess it's, we can let her go.
Yeah, Alice,
yeah. And then Ernie passed away with cancer in Edmonton. That's hard on a little place like that. And so pray for them if you think of them. Many good memories. Just so many good memories. Okay, we're going to look at some things in the Bible that are called one things. And what I was thinking of as I was reading these one things, was like, Lord, how can we take what is in your word spoken back then and translate it into 2021? How can it apply this year? I was reading about Jonathan Edwards, who lived in the 1700s. And he made some resolutions. And he, from what I hear and from what I read, is that he not only made resolutions, he lived by them. And I'm just going to share them with you. By the way, he wrote, but he was a great evangelist in the 1700s. He had great revivals. But you know what he died of? Smallpox vaccination. So there's kind of a weird thing. Resolve. He said, to resolve to live with all my might while I do live. Resolve never to lose a moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I can. Resolve never to do anything which I should despise or think meanly of or in another. Never to do anything out of revenge. Resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Those are good things. And apparently he lived them out. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you whether that was real or not, but from what I read in history, that he did live all of his resolutions out. They weren't just statements that were made, they were things that I want this to be part of my life. So I take you, focusing and refocusing. Okay, I've done that already. To 1 John, to John chapter 9, verse 25. And this is the blind man, blind since birth. And it says, when he's talking about Jesus, he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I think that one of the things that we can learn from this is to stay focused on the realities of what God has done in our life. There's a lot of distractions that want to take you away from what God has done in your life. But so this guy just says, like, I don't know nothing else. All I know that I was blind. Now I see. They asked his parents. Yes, he was blind since birth. And now he can see. That's all we know. That's the bare facts. We don't have to add nothing to it. You can see for yourself. The guy can see. And he's saying, well, you can see whatever you want about this guy who healed me. Here's the one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. I think it's very important. We watch Andrew Womack for a month, and many TV people that we really like, and he's just so plain and straightforward. And his whole reality was, of this message that he was speaking, is he says, I know this is a cliche, but folks, you got to know God personally, not just know about God. Experience his love, his peace, and his joy. Then it doesn't matter what anybody says to you, because this is the reality that you're experiencing day by day in your life. They can say whatever they want about it. And, you know, he's been personally criticized for preaching God's love, grace, and peace. And he said, you know, people will criticize him, and he'll just say to them, well, you know, I've been criticized by better people than you. And then they really get mad, you know. Because there's a reality in his life, you can't take that away.
Right.
It's just like the blind man said, well, man, I've been all these years blind. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know whether what you're saying is right or wrong or this, but this one thing I know. And you know, we have things in our life that God has implanted in us. It's like I showed you that slide of the old deer. This is personal thing. I remember a gal in Bible college, every time that, and it's just the way God deals with people, you know, everybody individual. She would feel somebody to pray for, and she would feel oil in her hand, in her palm of her hand. So then she'd say, well, who, Lord? And she just would pray for that person. That was her way of relating to God, you know. It just, and I don't understand it. I don't, you know, there's so many ways that we can relate to God, and just little signs that God individually gives us that, just my reminder to you.
Yeah.
Just need to remind you of that. And so this man and his parents stayed focused on the reality of what had happened. Sometimes that's just what we need to do, is like, okay, this is what you were, this is where you are now. Don't forget that. All right? So that's the one. But now, all right, the second one. Peter, 350. No, this isn't the second one. This is, but in regards to that, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. It's very important. We keep Christ as Lord. We have him. He's got a special place there. We keep in relationship with him. We keep daily talking to him and letting him put his peace and his love in our hearts. All right, secondly, the psalmist from Psalms 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You know, despite all of the faults that David had and failures, he didn't focus on things bigger. Like, he didn't focus on God. You know, for me to be who God wants me to be, I need to have a bigger army. Or I need to have more chariots. Or I need to help this way. His attention, despite all of his fault, his attention always came back to God in worship and adoration. And in the end, he had victory. And that's very important. You know, one of the things we watch now and then, and of course, I know none of you are as carnal as us, but we watch Pawn Stars, you know, on TV, Pawn Stars. And that, I almost titled this message, Don't Take Your Treasures to a Pawn Shop. You know, that show has created a false sense of trust in pawn shops everywhere. You know, before you take your valuables to a pawn shop, remember, these guys in Vegas, and don't forget, Vegas is all about show. When Jamie and I went to Vegas, the first thing the guy said in our van from the airport to our hotel was, remember, Vegas didn't get rich by being generous. And that was his worst advice to us, you know. And so, you know, these guys bring in, they got experts all over the place. Not every pawn shop, in fact, very few pawn shops are going to have expert people to come in and assess what you're bringing in there. So the good chance that you're going to get taken. And so there's now, I was reading an article on this, there's people every week in their community, their city, they will go around to every pawn shop. This is their job. And they will look for valuables because they know their stuff. They know, they might be from antique shops themselves, but they know what stuff is worth, and they realize people are bringing stuff in to a pawn shop. Now sometimes we think our stuff's worth way more than what it really is worth. But there are many times when, okay, we're getting a lot more than I thought for this. And so then these people will come in and they'll buy it from the pawn shop dealer because he doesn't know the true value, but they do. And they're making a living off of buying stuff from pawn shops because this has created a false sense of security. It's like, well, I'll just take it to a pawn shop. Like, do you remember what pawn shops are? No. Anyways, they're just there. They'll take your item for 30 days and you can buy it back after 30 days, but you're paying big interest. And so a lot of stuff, and so that's basically what it's there. If you're hard on cash and you need cash, go to pawn shop. But you don't take stuff there to sell. That's not a real good place to go. And sometimes this is kind of like, we got to stay focused on God.
Yeah.
Despite all of our mistakes, despite whatever, it's kind of like David, it's like, don't concentrate, well, I can really get help over here. This is my pawn shop, I'll get help from it. No, stay focused on the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. We get sidetracked into thinking that we will benefit if we put our giftings, our talents, and time and resources into anyone but God. No, it's not going to happen. Just God, that's all. And we get stolen from if it isn't, our trust isn't in the Lord. Simple as that. We're not sure of all the answers, well, all the answers are for 2021. But if we focus on, and maybe we have to refocus on God, in the end, we will have victory. In fact, Paul wrote about that. He said, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, it's God, and only God, and nothing but God. All right, the third thing. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. This is the rich young ruler. Isn't that nice? Jesus looked at him and loved him. After him answering all the right questions, yes, I've been doing this ever since I was a little guy. I've kept the law. I've done everything. But he says, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, this is the only guy that we have record of that Jesus ever said that statement to. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. The rich young ruler had a wonderful track record. And he had good righteous deeds. And he was trying to impress Jesus with this. Like, yeah, man, I've kept all this too since my youth. However, his status got in the way of the most important thing Jesus wanted. The best thing that Jesus was interested in was him. And he was trying to impress Jesus with his works. Now, while Paul makes it clear that we are saved to do good works, those good works will not gain us favor or get anything from God. And we always need to remember that. We're thankful that God has ordained us to do good works, but that's kind of a response to God, not trying to get God to do things. You know, and Peter wrote that all things that pertain to life and godliness come to us through Jesus. And Paul writes, for by grace are we saved, not of works. It's a gift. So we need to keep the focus, or if need be, refocus on the fact that God is most interested in you. And as Jesus loved the young ruler, God looks on you with love. God looks on you with love. And don't forget that your works are wonderful, but the most important thing is he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that you might be saved. He wants you, and he loves you. So don't get distracted by anything else. Just love God. All right, number four. Martha, Martha, these are all very familiar to you. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Sometimes we can be so focused on doing a good thing that we miss out on the best thing. Nothing wrong. Serving is good. Because if you read, it wasn't that, I think, a matter of months later, that Jesus is at Lazarus' house having a meal, and guess who's serving them food? It's Martha. There's nothing wrong with serving. But you know, there's kind of a time and a place for everything. And there's a time when we just need to put our works down and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what God has to say for us today. Where should our focus be for today? Where should our focus even be for this moment? Again, nothing wrong with serving. But there's a time when we just need to sit and listen to what Jesus has to say. All right, so stay focused on that too. And in regards to this, let's read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul writes, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. And that capital one, I just just to, you know, there's a time when there's better, but there's time when there's best. And may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And so that's something, again, we can get so distracted so easy on good things. And Jesus is saying, I just need your attention right now. What you're doing is great. In fact, I'm coming for a meal in a few days. But right now, this is the best thing you can do. Pay attention to me. The fifth and last thing, not the only Bible, but in familiar portion of Scripture to you, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Well, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Sometimes it's just good to forget the past and move on in faith and in hope in the new year. And this might be a good year to forget the past and move on. Like Paul, never let the baggage of your past distract you from focusing on your goal. There's been a lot of baggage wanting to attach itself to us over this past year. And sometimes it takes effort. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the mark. You know, yeah, just so many decisions that you know that have been made on us over this past year that don't make any sense. It's like one of the things that I do is I pretty well every month get a massage. I've done it for years. One of the reasons I do that, because I believe it's preventative. I believe it prevents, and I don't know what is preventing, but sickness or whatever. And, you know, I've just finished now, but for most of the year, Jamie has a plan where I get $20 off, so it's whatever. So I get a message from my massage therapist, and she says, hey, Ralph, I'm really sorry about this. They're allowing us to do massages now, but you have to get a prescription from a doctor. And I'm thinking, okay, so now I'm going to be taking a doctor's time, and it's going to be charging the healthcare system, which is already overcharged, where I'm willing to just, like, you haven't examined me. I haven't had a day off in 37 years as far as for sickness goes. I'm doing this, but that's what Western medicine, eh? It's treating sickness. I want to prevent sickness. I want to prevent it. And it's like, I am just as happy to go put my $75 plus a tip to support local businesses, like you're asking me to do. And I can't do it. I'm not going to a doctor to get a prescription. This is a waste of time. And I'm not going to put any more on the healthcare system as such. And so I was getting all bent out of shape regardless. And the Lord said to me, Ralph, you know what message you're preaching this Sunday about forgetting the past and moving on and get refocused? You just need to let that go. It's like, okay. And so God deals with each one of us in different ways. It's like there's things that happened this past year, and there's decisions that have been made that I have no idea how you come to that decision. There's decisions I've made that I have no idea how I came to that decision. Just let it go. We're into a brand new year. Amen? All right. One thing. So there's five things that I share with you this morning. Jamie, do you want to go check that box and see if there's anything in there? And we'll... Anyways, God bless you and have a wonderful new year. And we'll just see if there's some prayer requests. And... Nothing in particular. Okay, well, would you stand with me and let's dismiss in prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And we thank you for the richness of your word. And we're thankful for the reality of your word. And as we read these five one things, we realize that they can affect us in a way that brings meaning to our life in this day and in 2021. And Lord, we open our hearts to you if there's one thing that you need to speak us about. We're open. And we will receive that. And we will focus on you and only on you. And we will refocus on you We'll remember all the good things of the past and all the good things that you've brought us through, and we look forward with anticipation and hope and peace and many good opportunities and new doors and even windows of opportunity this coming year. I thank you for each one in this congregation, Lord. I thank you for every person. I thank you for every marriage. I thank you for every family. I thank you for every business and whatever people have, Lord. I just pray, Lord, your blessing upon this coming year, Lord, in every way. I pray, Lord, that the creative mind of Christ will be theirs in relationship, in business, in finances, in physical, whatever it is, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that there's going to just open up your heart, or we open up our hearts to receive your creative word, that we may put it to practice, and we'll be the salt and the light that you have asked us to be and you've designed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.